Snakes. Snakes.
Hi,
Whoa.
how are you?
I can't complain too much. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you for coming on. Tonight we have Mr. Tyrus McKnight, poet, podcaster, author. What other credentials have I missed? Filmmaker.
No, I don't want them to do all that, you know. Keep some things a mystery, you know.
Okay. So tonight we're going to talk about politics in Louisiana, the 2020, and your views on these things that we got going on in Louisiana.
Okay,
So
that.
my first question to you would be, what would you advise a first-time voter that has never voted before, that just became of age and would like to vote in this upcoming 20?
I would advise them to vote for a candidate that's working in their interests. I think for too long, we as Black people in particular, we voted for people that have been given to us, i.e. Barack Obama. I know a lot of people, that might ruffle a lot of feathers, but on the surface of everything, Barack Obama, he was given to us and he didn't produce for us. We've always voted for candidates that have put other people's interests before us. Now, we as a black candidate, as black candidates, we got to realize that we'll get more leeway for the local elections rather than the national elections, right? So when we're talking about voting and you just became a voter, what you want to do is think about how it's going to affect you down the line and how it's going to affect the people around you.
Okay, so do you believe, since we're talking about Obama, do you think that Obama was only elected to give us some type of hope?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's intangibles. He was elected to give us intangibles, meaning that he wanted to give us hope. He wanted to give us a promise, you know, but he never committed to anything,
You know,
you know.
not one thing.
And Barack, not one thing. I mean, nobody could, like, they try to do this whole trickle down politics where it's like they give everybody the they give the LGBTQ, they gave Latinos, they gave white women, because white women are considered minorities, by the way, for those who don't know. They gave gay white males, they're considered minorities, by the way, for those who don't know. And they gave them everything. They gave them all the pieces to the cake. When it came down to us, we got the crumbs, which was very, very little. Like, we can't divide that amongst us as black people. And, you know, when you're talking about politics, you want to think about it as a, from a chess standpoint. You want to move correctly. You don't want to be from a chess standpoint. You don't want the opportunity to just jump somebody. You want to move correctly. So at the end of the day, just in checkmate. And nobody's trying to defeat, nobody's defeating you in the process.
Okay, so your opinion on the situation when when we talk about the Electoral College, what's your views on that, and do you think we should do away with that?
With the Electoral College, what's the system put in place? As far as somebody saying, you said as far as somebody saying that they wouldn't vote,
No, saying that their vote doesn't count.
their vote doesn't count. I wouldn't say that. I think your vote does count. I think it counts more locally than it does nationally. It's because as far as like Louisiana goes, until we change the landscape as black people, as far as Louisiana goes, it's always going to be a Republican state. Right, we got a whole bunch of quote unquote good, but no, I'm just gonna say it ain't gonna even be politically correct. We got a whole bunch of white supremacists that live in Louisiana, and they're sticking to their values, and their kids are sticking to their values, and that's nothing wrong with that because you're supposed to go for things that's going to benefit you. But in a local election, your local election, that counts. You have more power in the local election. Especially like if you're from like a city, majority city like New Orleans that's black, predominantly black, you will definitely have a lot of leeway with that.
So you feel like the local level is what we need to concentrate on?
Yes, until we have enough leeway for the national level. A great example would be, I'll never forget this when I was a kid, Cleo Fields. You remember Cleo
Yes, I
Fields?
do. Feel feels.
Cleo Fields, young, black, ambitious. I felt change in Louisiana. He was going to be the first black governor of Louisiana. And what happened was, instead of, and a lot of people may not remember this, Mary Landrieu, instead of endorsing somebody from her own party,
right,
she endorsed Mike Foster, who is not of her party, but is in the same race as her.
Oh.
So a lot of people put their race first.
But why? But why do you?
They value
their
race.
Do you feel like that was the reason, or you just felt like that was she did that because she was, you know, agreeing with what his views was at the time? Well, what she thought his views was at the time.
That's definitely the reason. I mean, you got a young black man who defeated you as the primary in the primaries, but you want to endorse him even though y'all in the same party. She's putting her race first. She's saying, oh, this black man can't get in office because he may change some things that may affect white people. I'm not going to endorse that.
Something to think about, like, now, but I was at the time when all that was really like going on. When I say young, I mean like I was not aware of how the local level was very, you know, like that's, we always think about the president. We never think about, you know, what's going on in our local area, especially as younger people. I mean, right now there are going to be children that's just worrying about the elections that's coming up from 2020 only because they want to get Donald Trump out of office. But nobody's thinking about them not going out to vote for the people that we need to vote for on a local level.
And also, let me say this about Trump. This is the thing about Trump. This is what the media tried to do. You know, I even heard Bernie Sanders say this. Bernie Sanders said, well, this is a racist president. Well, Bernie Sanders, you're a white supremacist too.
Okay.
the Democratic Party is just as bad as Donald Trump. Nobody could give me any type of evidence and saying that they're not just as bad as Donald Trump.
So wait, why do you say that?
Well, because Bernie Sanders backed anti-black policies and he refuses to repair it. Like when we talk about repairing, we talk about reparations. He voted for reparations for Jews to have. He voted for reparations for Asians to have. But when it came down to black people, he's very anti-black.
Okay, so since we're speaking on reparations, if you was in a position to issue out these reparations, which we know we have to go through a lot to even much get to the point of reparations. You have to go through a whole nother party. You have to go through a whole nother system of situations.
Well, my thing would be this, though. How did the Jewish get it? Use the same blueprint that you did to give them their reparations. How did the Asians get it? You know what I'm saying? Our tax dollars are going to all of these people to pay for their reparations. But when it comes down to us, who built this country, who helped build this country, we don't get a cent of our own struggle or our own pain.
Right. So we know we're going to have to go through a whole system of situations. You know, they're going to go by the book on us when it comes to the situation of reparations. But Kamala Harris says she wants to give black and brown people money for home ownership. Do you feel like that's sufficient when it comes to reparations?
First of all, let me tell y'all something. Kamala, whatever she calls herself, she is a maturing candidate. Mm. She goes out of her way to say that she's not black.
Okay.
Right? She calls herself a person of color. And let me say this about the brown people. Oh, don't mix black people in with brown people because our struggle is entirely different.
So
they come over here illegally.
Oh gosh.
They come over here illegally and they set up shop in our neighborhoods and disrespect us.
So when we speaking of brown people, since they started doing this whole black brown thing, I've never even heard of this before till now. Who is considered the brown people?
Mexicans, Latinos.
Okay. Mexican and Latinos. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying that the home ownership thing is not sufficient enough for reparations. Am I right?
It's not. Okay. It's not. Cut the check.
Thank you.
Cut the check.
I agree. Because guess what? We've learned a lot and we became homeowners. So what else you got?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So I do definitely agree with that.
And that thing is, when you're talking about home ownership being a part of reparations, if you cut the check, we can buy whatever home we want.
Okay. In reality. Real reality. Let's speak reality now. if we cutting checks for reparations, what do you think our people gonna do with their reparation money?
Whatever they desire to, but for the most part, intelligent black people who I think we have out here, they're going to invest, we're going to be able to come up, and we're going to be able to sufficiently defend ourselves against the system of white supremacy. Now, I know that the popular opinion would be, oh, we're just going to give it right back to them. That's not the case. That is not the case.
But we do know that that could possibly happen with multiple people giving the money right back.
That could happen to multiple people. However, when we talk about the intelligent black society, people that are intelligent, I'm not talking about Bougles and people in Jack and Jill systems or light-skinned Negroes that don't want to be called black. I'm talking about intelligent black people. We could build with each other. We could build corporations. Once we build corporations, we'll have to fight the system that we're up against. And not only that, we could control our fate and control the fate of our children.
I do agree very with important. You know, that part, but I just don't feel like, I feel like it should be some type of reparations. I don't know how it should be issued out. I'm not really good when it comes to that, but I definitely would wish that if it was to happen, which we know 9 times out of 10, it's not going to happen. If it was to happen, I would hope that they would invest back in themselves and not give it back. So when you say, no,
but,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But you know,
so when you speak about the immigration thing, so there's this whole task force that's out that's trying to sweep out all the people that are illegally here. So you stating that you agree with the movement?
Hey, tell you like this, Nick. Ice, baby. Yes, I do. Yes, and let me tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm not saying nothing that's, you know, callous or anything like that. Let me tell you something. These Mexicans and these Latinos come over here and disrespect us and everything is anti-black after we stand up for them. All the civil rights benefits that we're supposed to get, they're getting. They are over here illegally. But I want people to understand this. I want people to understand this. They are over here illegally. We have had, I don't think people understand the detriment that gives us or that provides for black people. We worry about every other race besides ourselves. And when it's time for us to stick together, then everybody wants to cry foul. Everybody keeps saying, oh, black people don't stick together. Black people don't stick together. But once we finally start sticking together and worrying about our own and having everybody else stand for themselves, oh, we wrong. No. These people are anti-black. And we have suffered many of deaths because of illegal aliens and some legal aliens. Look at George Zimmerman. Look at Officer Yanez up in Minnesota who killed Philando Castillo. They have the same white supremacist mindset as these white people.
Right. And that's but just we what also it is. Have other people that are not the best in our interest when it comes to race also. So when I think about the way that they're doing if you're not supposed to be here, I understand, you know, I get that. But I don't know if I like the way that they're handling it, the way they're going about doing it. I mean, I just think that some people are being, you know, separated from their kids and, you know, things like that. I don't agree with all of that. I just think that it should be some type of, I don't know, maybe I'm just, like, crazy, but I think maybe, like, a 60-day notice. Like, I don't know.
Like, well, I'm going to put it like this. The George Zimmerman gave Trayvon Martin a 60-day notice.
I understand, but we're singling out one or two people that were the worst. But we don't like people to do that to us. You know, and I definitely agree with what you're saying. Those two people are like the worst, and I don't even understand how they both are still living. I agree with that 1,000%. But I don't want two black men to go out and do something to somebody of another race, and then everybody just think that. Oh, all black people are like that. I don't want that to be the case. You know, we got two people that are the worst. I do not understand how they still living. I don't understand how they still walking around and being able to be out and be free. I agree. But I don't want to categorize a whole race according to something that two people or three people did.
Well, let me put it to you like this. Okay, so they have ICE raids and these children are being locked up, right? And everybody's saying it's sad, which it is they'll say, right? And put it to you like this. Tamir Rice, Jordan Davis, Trayvon Martin have all been killed unjustly, right? Everybody knows this. Now, I could tell you how many people have fought for just immigration, how many black people have, but how many Latinos or people or illegals have come out and said, you know what, what's going on with these black people is wrong and we need to do something.
How we know that hasn't happened, though?
How many? But I'm asking you, how many?
I don't know. I don't have numbers on that. But I'm not going to say nobody hasn't.
Nobody has.
You feel like nobody.
Nobody has. Nobody, not one person has come out in the media and said, man, what's going on with these? I haven't even seen it on social media. And I have Latino, quote unquote, associates.
So, okay.
I haven't even seen it on social media.
I don't want to agree not with that. I hope that's not true. I definitely hope that's not true. But I just do feel like that they need to do it in a better fashion, a better order. Nobody needs to be separated from their children in way better than is happening, if it has to happen. I don't agree with it happening. Maybe I need to learn a little more. Me and you discussed that before. Like, I'm not always politically correct. I mean, I know everything, but I just feel like it's done in another fashion, form, or something. We don't want nobody to do that to us or anybody, and I just think that they just do need some type of courtesy when it comes to it.
Well, Snakes.
I know what you're going to say.
Well, Snakes. What I'm saying, another thing I want to point out is this too. Okay, let's talk about medical apartheid, right? And I know this personally. And let's talk about businesses. And I know this personally as well. Now, what if I told you these people don't even have a social,
well,
a sufficient social security
number?
Well, guess what? They're able to get better medical care than you.
Okay.
Now, as a generational citizen of the United States, as a generational citizen of Louisiana and New Orleans, how do you feel about
that? That's
even though, you know, they haven't paid the dues that you and your ancestors have paid. They came over here illegally, and they're benefiting from all of the benefits that your ancestors and that you put in and all the work that you put in.
I do feel a way about that. But my question is, when they come and get those fake social security numbers, well, not really fake, but those made up social security, pseudo numbers is what we call them. If they're getting these pseudo numbers, why they cannot be taxed? If we have these pseudo numbers assigned to them, why are we not doing that?
Because they're not citizens.
So why we can't, I mean, they're passing laws. Best they can do. Can't pass a law. You have a pseudo number, you tax. You have a pseudo number, you can't receive these benefits unless you're able to be taxed. Why we can't do that?
Well, the best thing they could do is just send them back home and they'll come back eventually. What? Now, I learned this also. Yeah, I'm telling you. I learned this from a cop. A cop told me this. Cop said, Tyrus, said, and you know, be cool. He not a coon, but he broke some game down to me. He said, Tyrus, he said, if you get caught drinking, driving, What you think will happen to you if you get pulled over? I said, one or two things. I said, I'm going to jail, I'm dying, I'm getting killed. He said, yes. He said, what do you think happens to these illegals when they get pulled over for drunk driving? Which is very dangerous, by the way. I said, I don't know what happens. He said, they may take them to jail, but then after they find out they're not a citizen, they're just going to send them back to their country, and then they'll be able to come back eventually. So they arrested one dude 12 times.
I do know that is a fact.
So my thing is this, how are they getting all these benefits and everything and they're not putting in work?
They're working.
Well, it's the thing though. They came over here. See, immigration was meant to be for the Latinos to replace black people as a working class.
A lot of people don't know that.
Okay, so why are we even caping for people that would be taking jobs from us, be taking economics from us, where we need to be economically sufficient ourselves. We can't put ourselves in harm's way for people who want to, at the end of the day, see us dead anyway. That just doesn't make sense. Self-preservation is the law of the land. And Black people need to start practicing self-preservation when it comes to economics, when it comes to relationships. We need to start practicing self-preservation.
So explain self-preservation for people who may not understand what you're saying.
Okay. Self-preservation, that's the law of nature, saying that you have to look out for yourself to survive. In order to survive, you have to preserve self before anybody else.
The reason why I asked you to tell me what that means is because why are we upset at them? Why are we not upset with the corporations or the companies that are allowing these things to happen? We can't. It's like that's like somebody getting mad with somebody going to get a job and you saying you get 15 and you get 20, all because I just like you a little better. So why are we upset with the immigrants and not upset with the companies that are allowing these people to come in and take those jobs and do those things? Because they don't want to pay.
Well, let me say this. We're not upset. Upset? We're playing chess, we can't be upset. When you're playing chess, you can't be upset at your opponent for making strategic moves.
Okay.
Right? Only thing you could do is make a better move. Or like there was a show called Boardwalk Empire. This guy by the name of Nookie said, "Dang, I don't know what move I need to make." And the dude said, "Hey, how about you make no move?" He was like, "What?" He said, "Sometimes doing nothing, that's the best move." So when we talk about being strategic, we're not making any moves. Even though they're trying to move against us, we're just not going to make any moves to help them. We're not mad, but we're not going to help you either because we have to worry about ourselves.
Okay. I mean, I don't know, Tyrus. That's a hard one for me. I'm on the fence about it. You know, because I just don't like the way it's handled. Like I told you, I definitely understand and I agree with some points that you're making. I don't like the way it's being handled. I definitely feel like we need to be more vigilant of what's going on around us with these companies. And I do think that it just needs to be handled in a different manner. I'm a mother. You are a father. You would not want to be in those type of situations if you were in another country. Because we are getting treated very harshly in different countries right now. I don't know for what reason exactly, but if we're looking around right now, you know, some people are getting locked up for like the smallest things in these other countries. And I just would hope that they wouldn't be treating them as harsh as we're treating our immigrants here.
Let me say this. Even with, what's her name? Alexandria Cortez, that's her name? Now, she's anti-Black as well. Now, she's trying to fool people with politeness. And I want to say this to Black people as well. When somebody's being polite to you, take that as being a chess move, especially if they're from another race. Take that as being a chess move. Don't take that for face value. Just because they're polite to you don't mean they have good intentions. Now, she's making policies. And she's Latino, by the way. She's making policies to remove Black politicians from the Senate. Right? She's in favor of that. She says it needs to be more diverse.
So was she speaking of
diverse for who?
Okay.
If you're doing something against Black people, why should we even try to fight for your people? You're just as racist as Donald Trump, but you smile in our face. The difference is Donald Trump says, "Hey, I just don't like y'all," which is how I like my white supremacists, just like that, because ain't no games to be played. I like them open.
So let's shift gears a little bit because this political stuff is a lot.
Okay.
On Instagram, former mayor Mr. Mark Morio. So can you just give me a little bit about what that conversation was like?
Me and Mark, we were chopping up game, you know. We were talking about my, but for the most part, I was interviewing for my documentary, New Orleans Politics. And Mr. Mark was telling me, because I was asking about crime in New Orleans, because a lot of people don't realize how him and Chief Pennington really cleaned up crime in New Orleans. when they first got in office, crime was at a high rate, and they brought it lower. And he was saying that he was determined to clean up the police department, first of all, but also City Hall, because there was so much corruption and there was so much, you know, just people just not doing the right things, or people just looking out for self. They weren't worried about the city of New Orleans. They were worried about themselves.
So when he said he wants to clean up the city, well, not really the city, the police department, did he feel like it was a lot of corruption going on? Which I always feel like, but did he feel like that was one of the issues?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They actually had an officer. I forget this guy's name, but we actually have an officer on death row right now who was selling drugs to the kids, right? Telling them, making them sell drugs. And he was killing the kids after he was finished with them.
Wait, this happened here?
It happened in New Orleans. The guy's name, when I get the guy's name, I'm but we actually have him on death row right now. He was a police officer. He's on death row right now.
I'm going to have to go look that situation up.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. You know.
Go ahead. Sorry. I want to hear more about.
I was like, even when you look at like the Dazzler Bridge shooting.
Yeah.
You know, who are these people? Who are these cops behind the scenes? I don't like to look at people for face value. I like to look at how people are behind the scenes. You know, we got like these cops, most of them can't wait for the chance to kill a black person or to do something bad to a black person.
Do you feel like that our Orleans Parish jail system is equipped for the crime that we have here in New Orleans?
Not sufficient at all.
So do you think that they're just not locking up people because we are not equipped?
They're not locking up people because they don't want to do police work. They have no incentive to do police work. And another thing is this. Let me say this. Okay. So we got two criminal entities. Like we have the sheriff department, then we have NOPD, right? NOPD, what they do, they make the arrests. They supposedly do police work. And the sheriff office, they house the prisoners. Now, when we're talking about the sheriff office spent it wasn't the sheriff office itself, but I want to say the city of New Orleans got $150 million to build this prison.
Okay.
Right? And they had to shut half the prison down.
Because?
Why? Because the officers weren't properly trained. They had people dying. They had people selling dope in jail. They had their own officers selling dope in jail. So, and they had a lot of people going under indictment. And I'm speaking about stuff I know, not stuff I think. You know, I got the inside track. Yeah.
Publicized about the selling drugs and stuff in jail. We did see that.
And not only that, they had officers, male and female, having sex in prison.
Well, isn't that common? It shouldn't be. But I'm saying, it
shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Then they had nurses having sex with prisoners. But maybe I'm speaking too much right now.
I mean, most of these things affect it's not New Orleans prisons that this is happening in. So we don't want to make it seem like it's a New Orleans thing. This is all over the world that these things are happening.
But Snicks, think about this. What is supposed to be what jails are used for? What is supposed to be the goal of jail?
Rehabilitate offenders.
They're not doing that though. You know what you know, it's crazy because they have social workers on deck, they have counselors on deck, you know, they got all these things in place that could benefit these prisoners, but they're not utilizing them in a correct manner. Now $150 million,
that is definitely
a lot of money. So Most crime is connected to economics.
All right.
For people that don't know. Now, economically, the citizens of New Orleans could have used that money instead of building a place for them to go to jail, you could teach them some skills or some job skills for them to get jobs and careers. And maybe their own businesses, give them business loans in order for them to not even have to commit that crime.
Okay, so I can agree with that, but I do want to point out that all the police in New Orleans is not corrupt. We have some great people on the force, that it just that they're getting overshadowed by these people that are not that does not have our best interests at heart, and they work hard. You know what I'm saying? We do have some officers out there that's really working hard. To me, sometimes they're overworked. Yeah. And when you're talking about the economy, is they took $150 million to build this jail. Why we didn't give the police officers some raises, some training, some real tools that they would need out here in these dangerous streets? I don't feel like that they did misuse the money, you know. But I just feel like those officers do need more money, especially for the type of crime that we do really have going on. We need some forensic people that's getting paid better money. We need people that's investigators that need better money. I don't know. Maybe that will make them get better on their job, because we have a lot of unsolved murders out here, but we have people locked up for minor charges that they're getting 5 to 10 years for, but we can't catch somebody who's killed somebody in broad daylight. Like, with cameras. You know, go ahead.
Well, let me speak to that. Now, when we talk about murder in New Orleans, right? And we talk about murder in Louisiana, period. One thing that a lot of people don't know about that system is, one thing is, sometimes murder is the hardest thing to prove as far as, like, criminal justice goes, right? Especially if you're doing it with a knife.
Oh, please don't.
Especially if you're doing it with a knife. Especially if you're doing it with a knife. But not only that, if you are in jail for 30 days in New Orleans and they can't find any type of case for you or against you, then they have to let you go.
Since when?
Since always. That is the law.
But is it really happening? I don't know about that.
Yes. They have to let you go. Okay.
I mean, you know, we can make up evidence because we need to lock up somebody. You know.
You possibly could, but if the DA decides not to approve that.
The DA situation could be a whole other topic. You know, so.
Yes. We already know. Yeah.
You know,
yes,
let's get the numbers down by any means necessary, you know. So I don't want to really get into that. But I understand what you're saying. I just pray for a better situation when it comes to Louisiana. Just not New Orleans, just Louisiana altogether. I just feel like we're always at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to these politicians and being, you know, taken out for a lot of money that we can use as citizens. And I just don't feel like that the city itself has any confidence in anybody that's been elected.
Yeah, which is understandable. But I think that we should break away from Democratic and Republican, and we should start our own party. And let me say this too. Not just New Orleans, but Louisiana. I looked up guess who the only billionaire in Louisiana?
Billionaire? Who?
The entire state of Louisiana. Gail Benson.
I could believe it. But how, though?
We're in two sports that's dominated by black people.
Yes.
But, you know, the majority of her income comes from sports, dominated by black people.
So I had a question that came in. It's kind of like came in that they just made sure that they wanted me to ask you this question.
Okay.
Because they listen to us on your podcast all the time. So they wanted to get your view on this situation. How do you feel about the abortion law that was signed by John Bel Edwards?
I feel about it two ways. One way, I'm going to say this one way. is I love our black children, and I love our black women, okay? Regardless of what anybody thinks, I really do love our black women. I hold them to the highest of standards, but I do love them. Now, as far as like the abortion laws go, I don't think that for the survival of our race and the survival of us as a people, that it's conducive for our women to get abortions unless they've been raped. Mm. That's just my personal opinion on it. However, there mm-hmm. are some women, one example would be the woman up in Texas. I think it was up in Texas. They're going to kill their kids anyway, and they don't deserve to have children right. anyway.
But that just goes back to how sticky that this law can possibly, that it can be. Everyone that gets pregnant, I don't want to say it's so much on purpose, but does not need to have kids. So I know, my views on the law is your body, your choice. But at the same time, I don't think it should be an option every time you turn around that you just feel like. I think it should be a limit. I definitely think you should be able to put a limit on it. But just per se, just wipe out the whole, you just cannot have a choice about, you know, your body. But then that goes back into more money into Medicaid, more money into, mm-hmm. you know, the food stamp program, more money into all these programs that we are trying to reduce. Because maybe somebody cannot afford a child.
Well, snakes. I could tell you personally, condoms are $8.48 at Walmart. $8.48 saving you from, and I'm telling y'all from personal experience. Will save you a lot of money. $8.48. Also, I want to say this. It is your body. It is your choice. I do think, though, as men, we should have a choice of what happens to our seed. I don't think it's fair that you could say, oh, I want to get rid of your seed without my knowledge or without us discussing it first. I understand that it's your body, but it's my
seed.
And
I agree with that, too. A limit also. You can put your opinion in, but I think you have to sign some type of document stating that you're going to be here for this child and you're going to be able to take care of this child emotionally, physically, mentally, and everything before you can make some type of decision. To me, if we're going to just go away and just say we're just not going to do, you know, let's just say we put a limit on abortions. Should we put a limit on how many children a man can have? Like vasectomy after 3?
Yes, if we can't probably take care of them. Now, if you ask anybody about me, I'm all about being able to properly finance whatever you got going on, right? So if you're going to say, and let's talk about responsibility. You know what we're talking about right now? We're talking about responsibility.
Right, definitely.
Right? So as a man, you have to be able to financially support their child.
Right.
Right? Once they get in the world. Now, if you and a mother gets along, I don't know what y'all got going on. You know, it'd be up to you to support her financially or sufficiently, however you want to do that or whatever you got going on. However, I do think that if you're a man, your responsibility is to that child. If you are with that woman in a relationship, your responsibility is to both of them.
Oh, okay. That's different. You know, I'll go with that, but I just definitely think that if we're going to do it for one side, we definitely should do it for both sides.
Yeah, because Snakes, some men don't deserve to be fathers. Because they end up killing the child too.
I think people mental health and mental stability, I think people homes need to be checked. I think a lot of things need to happen before some people have children, but you know, that's a whole different story. But that just makes me go back to say, I think that the whole abortion law thing needs to be kind of like maybe critiqued instead of just putting all the way out of the system all the way together. I don't think that you should just be going in to have abortions just because, you know, you can. I don't think that you should be able to just walk in there with a happy face. And I don't think nobody is, you know. But I do think that there should be a limit. And I think that mental health should be one of the main things that people need to check before they just decide that nobody should have an abortion. I mean, we have too many kids being dropped off. We have too many people, I mean, too many kids being dumped in garbage cans, left at the fire, you know, fireplace or the police office. And, you know, some haven't still haven't been found.
Yeah. And not only that, you know what else I think? I think, and this goes for my fellas out there because I can't speak from a woman's standpoint. But fellas, let me tell y'all something. I mean, like, they might look good. I'm telling y'all from personal experience again. They might look good. They might be fine as hell. Big butt, big titties, small waist, everything you like. But let me tell you something. If that mentality ain't right, you better make a concerted effort to wear a condom. Because forget the pull-out game, because they got the goofy leg lock.
Not the goofy leg lock.
The groupie leg lock. You get caught up like that. Sometimes, and you know, sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes it's real, the crazy ones, that's the ones that got the best stuff.
So when you say groupie, we had the leg lock. Leg do you lock. Think that, do you think that men don't do that?
Nah, how men gonna do a groupie leg lock? Get y'all listen. Caught up, it's a cool, get y'all caught up, it's a, the shooter.
Do y'all, you think that men don't trap women?
I'm about to get ready to bring it home on your ass. Let me say this. I'm about to get ready to bring it home on your ass. Check this out. A man cannot trap a woman without her knowledge.
That is total not facts.
Huh? Okay, watch this. Check this out. Okay. So before he about to get ready to stick his penis in, right? Somebody gonna have to open up their legs. Hell. Somebody gonna have to get on top. No. Somebody gonna have to get on top.
I'm listening.
And if they gonna go up in there naked, you know you have knowledge of that. You have knowledge of. Wait, hold on. Wait, let's not do this without a condom.
So wait.
Now he can say it too. Okay. Wait. Clarify. He can say it too. But my thing is this though, you can't trap a woman without her knowledge. Is what I'm saying. Because if I'm sticking it, you could say, hey, I'm not doing this without a condom. You know, and if they have sound mind and they don't want a rape charge or anything like that, they're going to go grab that condom. What's the
difference with the man? When you say the whole groupie leg lock, you knew what you was in for when you went in too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know, men, for some reason, men think they got the best pull-out game. That's the shit. Some men think they got... Some men think they got the best pullout game, and another thing is this. Sometimes men tend to go off their emotions, which they shouldn't do. Men should never go off their emotions. Like, I love her. She'll never try to trap me. Oh. It'll never happen. I'm not going to child support. She's solid. She's solid. So you don't. But let me tell you something. Logically, that doesn't work.
Go ahead. Go. Huh?
That doesn't work. That doesn't work logically because for the most part, men, and I know I already know this is going to work for some fellas. For the most part, men are supposed to be the breadwinners. Men are supposed to be the providers. So when a woman is looking to trap a man, she has financial gain. When a man try to trap a woman, he doesn't have any financial gain. All he has is an annoying person.
Oh my God, Tyrus. No.
Yes, Tyrus just went there.
No.
With goddamn Shaq boots on. We're not going to do it. With Shaq boots on, I stepped in there, motherfucker.
Because
I stepped in there with Shaq boots on.
Women have been trapped too. And I don't know what men gain from. I think the long lasting relationship, she not going to go nowhere thing. Don't believe that that's not.
She not going to go nowhere. Women go where? Women can have a baby and dudes still go holler.
Yeah, well, guess what?
Logically, see what I'm talking about? Logically, it doesn't make sense.
But some of them ain't got that through their head yet. That long-time bond they're having the child, regardless if they're together or not, men do go for that. Don't think women not being trapped, Iris. Don't think that.
But, so my thing is this. So what do men have to gain besides a lifetime bond? I'm talking about tangibles. We talked about tangibles earlier. I'm talking about things they can touch. Woman. Now you can test that bank account. The woman. You can test that bank account.
The woman.
The woman? I'll tell you something. I'm gonna tell you something. What about the woman that's gonna be so special?
Maybe you ain't found the right woman yet. And I swear I wanna be right next to you when you find it. I wanna be right next to you when you find it. I wanna be at the wedding. I wanna be at everything. Because you feel like you just cannot be touched yet. But it's gonna happen to you.
What? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Snicks. And this is the level of vulnerability right here. I've been touched.
Oh, so you hurt? You hurt?
No, no, I'm not hurt at all. I'm not hurt at all. I'm doing, man, tired of doing this damn thing.
But men hold on to hurt longer than women. However. Oh, you still hurt?
No, I haven't been hurt the day after.
No, like, no, no.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something about this. You know what? I can't speak for all men, but let me tell y'all something about me. Listen, I lost my father and my grandmother within a year of each other. And I went into a slight depression because of it. Now, my mindset is this. If we're in a romantic relationship, yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt for a little bit. But if I can get over that, I can get over anything.
I believe that.
And so if you're going to come, now you got to be, in order for you to hurt me logically, you got to come more to the table than some good coochie, because I already had good coochie my whole life. I've been getting good coochie my whole life.
Lord, what I'm going to do with Cyrus. Well, we going
for the last, I'm 30 for the last 16 years. Oh, y'all can count that up.
I just don't know what to say to you. I just want to say, invite me to the wedding when you on cloud nine. And this woman then got you all sugared up and you become a more softer Tyrus, and I could be in the building for when it happens.
Listen. This is the thing though. A lot of people never see like me alone with a woman and the love that I provide to a woman outside of all of this. Everybody thinks like I'm just like this brute strength type dude and I'm just just like aggressive all the time, but people will never understand the level of emotional comfort I give to a woman and the love I give to a woman, because I really truly do love women.
I can't wait to be a witness. So tonight we're going to end it just like this. My pet peeve of the week: I do not want to hear this statement for the rest of the hurricane season. Hunker down. I don't know why that statement has just generates so much anger in my heart, but I heard that 1,050,000 times this week, and I don't want to hear it anymore. Tyrus, let us know what you got going on and what's coming up for you.
Oh, man. Snicks, man. I ain't even want to put this out. I was going to say this in private, but your boy going to be on TV Thursday. I'm doing shooting TV Thursday for my political show. It's called Ring Politics with a Punch. And it's on WVLA TV. It's going to be on channel 32, I think it is. But I'm going to be shooting that on Thursday. I'm going to be talking about the documentary, New Orleans Politics. And also,
what time has come on?
I've just got this. It comes on at like, I got to look up the times.
Okay,
I got to make sure
everything.
That's why I ain't want to, And also, XM Radio got back in touch with me and, I might be flying to New York soon promoting a documentary. Somebody else got in touch with me too. Somebody else radio station got in touch with me too. A big radio show actually. I'm not gonna say nothing because I got a soft confirmation. I didn't get a hard confirmation. So I'm gonna keep that on the wraps until now. For now.
Yes,
but,
keep us posted.
Yeah.
Something that he did not tell me that I wanna put this out. I have ordered it today. Your book that you have on Amazon.
Tears from a Stone.
Make sure y'all get that. It's on Amazon. You can download it on Kindle. They have the 3-month subscription if you can get it for free. But I purchased it. It was only $5.99. I need you guys to go out and get it. It's full of poems and the softer side of Tyrus that we need to see. So make sure you guys go and get that and grab it. And I want to truly
appreciate
you how much you have inspired me and just made everything work out for me. I truly appreciate you. You can catch me on his podcast. His podcast is True to Power. Make sure you go look that up on your local podcast station. And I want to say thanks again.
No, no problem, Six. I mean, I think it's just like, you know, when somebody asks me for help, I'm going all the way, especially if they black, I'm going all the way. Like, if I can help you out any type of way I can, listen, if I make it, then if I know how to make a million, you're going to know how to make a million too. And if I know how to make a billion, you're going
to
learn
how to
make a
million too. But I know who to stick
with.
But I know who to stick with, and I appreciate you. Thanks for coming on.
All day.
Good night, guys.
Thanks for having me. Good night.